Glenn Perkins. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Thank you, Phil. I appreciate it. And, you know, Chris, I would have gotten a much better reaction from Judd. So
that's true.
Well, maybe not today, actually.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, actually, yeah, see, well,
I heard the report.
Well, let's throw the poll of the day is, and this is in honor of Judd Zolgad, who did this last night. How old is too old to take a day off work so you can go get schnockered on a party bus on a weekday? And the options were 22 is too old, 30, 40, or you're never too old to do that.
Well, I was going to say, if you didn't give me specific ages, I was going to say once you leave college. So I guess I'd have to go at 22.
22.
Otherwise, I think house parties are the way to go after the age of 22. Just have people over, put the game on TV,
like cook something. Yeah. Nope, not Judd.
Yeah, I think the best part was maybe the photo that is circulating around where Judd is kind of awkwardly standing next to, TC Bear statue?
We can say.
I asked Harrigan if that was a serious picture in the break right there, and he said yes, which is, that's unbelievable. I mean, do you guys have Kangaroo Court at in the studio there? Or?
We do now. If you want to start it,
yeah.
We do now.
that's got to be $5.
Someone tweeted at us. They took the original photo and they zoomed in on his hand placement, sort of awkwardly on his right thigh.
His other hand is out of the picture.
Grabbing TC Bear.
Clearly fondling TC Bear.
It's not shocking.
This is disturbing.
Oh man, we love Judd. So give us an arm and life update. You're up here. You went back to back outings in Chattanooga. So how do you feel? What's kind of your status, Glenn?
I felt good. I threw last Thursday, and then I threw Sunday and Monday. Played catch yesterday. So ever since I had the cortisone shot, I haven't missed a beat. It's been all good. And you know, I've got my fingers crossed. I talked to Derek and Dad yesterday, and you know, it's been a weird, month and a half just from how rehab had gone to how it's gone now. I felt better almost every day that I've gone out to play catch, not just like, oh, I could play catch, but like improvement. And every time I pitched, I felt improvement. And on the other side of the coin, I'm like waiting because I've had so many setbacks and so many times where I thought I was getting over the hump and I didn't, that I'm waiting for it to like not feel good one day. And thankfully, every time I've gone in to play catch or pitch or whatever it might be, I felt good. I'm ready to go. I mean, I think I'm where I would be had this been the end of spring training. And so I know that the end of spring training and the beginning of the season is one thing. The end of spring training and jumping into a playoff race is another. But hopefully, you know, some of the experience that I have and you know, the knowledge of hitters and just how to pitch up here will help me as I continue to sand off those rough edges that I have left.
So do they want you to pitch more in the minors, or is the conversation about just jumping right in here?
You know, before I left, I talked to Derek and Thad, and I had said, you know, that when I go throw back-to-back, that's it. And they agreed with that. And frankly, we had a conversation about even doing that, just because I'm 34 years old coming back from shoulder surgery, that how realistic is it that I'm going to even pitch on back-to-back days? You know, there was talk about me throwing multiple innings. I said, I'm certainly not going to throw multiple innings this year. So, you know, we even talked at length about that. But I had said, you know what, that's cool. I'll go down. I'll throw. I feel good. I'll throw back-to-back, and then that's it. And so when I came back yesterday talked to Molly, then I talked to them, and we kind of clarified with Derek and Thad what the plan was, and they said that I'll you know, obviously coming off of back-to-back days, I need a couple days to rest my arm and whatnot. But, you know, whether it's tomorrow or Friday, you know, I'm ready to go.
Was there ever a point, Glenn, in all this that you had any doubt that I may not make it back? Or just as a professional athlete, can you not let that thought even percolate in your brain?
There was not one thought. There was multiple times where I thought that. I mean, truthfully, you know, it was never, I'm going to quit trying. It was just, I've done all this stuff and it's not working. There was never a doubt in my mind that I was going to continue to rehab until I've exhausted all my options of rehab. And, you know, and so I just stuck with it and just tried to remain positive, even though there was, you know, I had enough days where I felt good. I think that buoyed me through the days that I didn't feel good. and you know that it just kept me going, knowing that if I've had one good day or two good days in the last week, that I can have more, that it's there, that the ability, that the feeling is there for me to feel good. And it's just consistently finding it and putting in the work that's going to allow me to feel good, and getting cortisone shots and those things put into your body doesn't hurt either. But you know, I persevered, I fought through, I battled, and you know, I'm thankful for all the work that all the people around me did, all the trainers that I've had at the different levels and up here in Florida. And at all the levels that I played at, that they all worked hard with me, and the pitching coaches and everybody that continued to push me and not let me get too far down, and just, you know, motivated me to keep going.
Is it harder to have that? I mean, this is going to seem like an obvious question on its face, but is it harder to have? You've had instances in your career where you've had to have patience, whether it was a call up or a role. Is it just harder to have that patience at 33? Because let's face it, every day that calendar turns another page.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, that's why from day one when I had the surgery, my goal was to just get back and throw one time, because I didn't know how much time I was going to have left in this season. I didn't know how much time I was going to have left in my career. And so for me, it was just to get back, and that was my one goal. And I wanted to set a goal that was going to take work to attain, but also I felt like was something that I could and should accomplish. And so I never ran out of patience. I mean, I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that I want to do in my life, but at this point, I don't know anything other than baseball. So I just continued to rehab and continue to have confidence that what I was doing and the people that were helping me was the right thing. And, you know, it ended up working out in my favor.
Glenn Perkins here with us, making his debut on the Mackey and Judd Show in 2017. And I'm just thinking, you know, the chances of you being able to get back from major shoulder surgery and the team also being relevant after losing 103 games and all of that sort of converging at the same time. This isn't really a question, but I just think it would be a really cool story if, you know, this team finished a few games out of a playoff spot in 2015 and you were grinding through an injury. And if you had been able to perform physically like you did in the first half, it's possible that was a playoff team. And now that you get to come back and jump back into a pennant race sort of unexpectedly, that has a chance to be a really fun, cool story. Not to jinx it. Knock on wood.
No, yeah. I mean, and I hope that I can impact this team in a positive way on the field, not just off the field, but on the field, and go out and, you know, prove some people wrong. I think that doubted whether I was going to get back from rehab or doubted my work ethic through this, or have doubted what I can bring to this team in this moment. There's some doubters at all of those points. And, you know, hopefully everything that I've done and the confidence that I have in myself, you know, will allow me to help this team. And it could be, it has the potential to be a really cool story. It has the potential to be a whole lot cooler story than 2 years ago when I tweeted how fun the last weekend of the season was going to be and I blew a game. So,
maybe avoid that tweet this time around, just ease back in.
I'll go ahead and stay off Twitter on that. But no, it does have the potential to be very cool. And again, I mean, these guys have worked so hard this year to come back from an awful season last year that everything went wrong, and some things have gone right this year. And I just want to be a part of that. This isn't something where I'm going to come in and be the guy. I don't have those expectations. I want to come back and help in whatever role it is that I can help in.
You've been in that clubhouse with very different temperatures. The thrill of 2010, and then a couple tough years, then 2 years ago, the surge. How relieving is it, especially someone in your position, where, frankly, this year you kind of had one foot in and one foot out, to see things like Brian Dozier at the trade deadline being very upset that a couple guys were moved out, and to see the team respond to that the way they've responded the last week and a half, 2 weeks, by playing hard and being very vocal about, we are going to, every team you've been on wants to try to win every day you go out. I'm not doubting that. But just this, I feel like this, it's, someone made the joke in our sports office, this is like Major League. You've got the players are saying,
Is there a cutout of Derek Falvey?
Right, that's what I'm getting at. Like, we get that you guys had to do what you had to do for the future, but we think we're pretty damn good right now. How much do you look at that and just say, God, that's exactly what, I don't want to say was missing some years, but it feels like this clubhouse is in a great position right now, and you have a unique stance where, again, you've been one foot in, one foot out this year.
I think more than anything, I mean, the guys, you always push and you always give it your best, no matter, you know, even last year down the stretch, guys are still, I mean, you're playing for something, and sometimes it ends up being for your own career. And in a 103 loss season, when you're eliminated from the playoffs, you are playing for next year. You are playing for your career, and that's okay. But all these guys have played this year really well. Two things. One is that if players made decisions at the trade deadline, no one would ever get traded because everyone's still going to be in it. And so you have to have somebody with a level head, which I think we have. We have two guys here that are very good at that. And they did the right thing. They gave the guys a chance. They brought in Garcia. And then the team went to slide, so they moved guys that they could that wasn't going to impact the long term future of the team, and really, frankly, didn't even impact the short term that much. But then, you know, I think the other thing is that there's a lot of talent in this clubhouse. I mean, no matter how hard guys want to try, if you don't have talent, you're not going to succeed. And there's been a lot of things that have happened this year positive with young players and even Dozier surging after the half here again like he did last year. But it boils down to that I think the guys are giving the same effort they've given all year. It's just that talent, it ends up rising to the top. And you know, you've seen what the progress that Eddie Rosario has made this year, that Byron Buxton has made. You know, Sano for a large portion of the season, what he did. There's talent here. And that's it more than anything. Like I said, you can try as hard as you want, but if you're not any good, you're not going to win. And there's guys in this clubhouse on this team that are really good baseball players, and we're seeing that.
Hey, I know that you haven't been around Target Field on a daily basis because you've been grinding your way back down in Fort Myers, but from what you can sort of tell with Derek Falvey and Thad Levine, what are some of the ways that they've impacted the organization in the, whatever, 10 months since they were hired to run the team?
I mean, evaluation, things like that, I think more than anything. And they haven't really put their fingerprint on this team yet. They've started to do some things with the organization, I think, that they see fit. And you know, moving guys out, moving guys around, different things. You know, and I think that between now and say the end of the year, there's going to be a lot more that you'll see the impact that they've had. But I think it's there's some little things with you know, bringing in Jeff Pickler to help with defensive alignment and what it does for our defense. Some of the guys that they're bringing in, Jason Castro, bringing in clubhouse guys, bringing in Chris Jimenez that help out. There's some things I think that they look at through a different lens than other guys have that were here, and then other guys in the game do. You know, and then obviously just this hasn't impacted our team, but the early returns on the draft, how well our draft guys are doing. I've gotten to see a handful of them. You know, with Lewis and Enlow and Rooker, I saw in high A. Guys that have a chance, you can just see it that they have a chance. These guys are going to be big leaguers, and you can tell early on. And I think that's really where you're going to see their biggest impact, or, you know, just initially is how our minor league system is going to be run, how those guys are going to be developed, and possibly a higher rate of return on those draftees.
This Brent Rooker kid you brought up, he's got 13 home runs in 49 games between Fort Myers and Elizabethton already.
Yeah.
He's just ripping bombs.
He's got, I think, a little bit of swing work to do just going from aluminum to wood. But he hit a ball. I was in Clearwater with that team, and he hit a ball that it looked like he got beat on it, and he hit it out to right center field, which that's a decent-sized park, and the ball doesn't go anywhere in the summer in Florida. So he's got the – I mean, I know that's one of the things that they targeted with him was I think he might have led NCAA or was in the very high up in exit velocity. And you can see it because it was a ball I thought he got beat on. I thought it was a fly ball to right center field, and it went out by a good margin. Good player. And you know, I saw Royce Lewis a lot. I saw Blaine Enlow make his debut down there. And you know, Royce Lewis is head and shoulders above everyone else there. You could just see it, just the way he carried himself. And yeah, They've done a good job with those guys. They did their homework on them. And I think, like I said, that's as time goes on here, you're going to see that's going to be early on the biggest impact that they have in this organization.
All right, so we did, Glenn, we did a new segment that these guys are trotting out earlier in the show. How does this end? Tell us. This season, how does this end for Glenn Perkins?
Hopefully not with my arm flying to home plate.
I mean, we were spinning mostly positives.
If the ball is still in your hand and it crosses through the zone, it might be difficult. That's where we need the robot umps. Did that ball cross?
Yeah. No, you know what? Hopefully healthy. That's all I ask. You know, I'm going to get back. I'm going to get an opportunity to pitch in the big leagues again. Hopefully I can continue to make improvements and help this team and see where it takes us.
Awesome. Well, we're wishing you luck, and it'll be fun to see you back in a Twins uniform in whatever role that is, hopefully later this week, man. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, guys. Thank you.